So today I'm going to be talking about, I'm titling this, The Mystery of Hope. So I felt compelled to share on hope this week. There have been a lot of people in our faith community that have recently, in the last year or the last few months or the last few weeks, been through probably, I think they would agree, some of the most difficult seasons of their lives, hardest days, and I don't like that. That's not my favorite. That's not fun. You know, it's so difficult to watch people that we care so deeply about going through incredible struggles. It's hard. Nobody likes that. And then really, honestly, part of it is that I need to share on hope for myself. I need to preach a little bit to myself. And it's always a good reminder to talk about hope. So let's talk about hope today. So here's the definition of hope that I found. I don't think it's like an official like Webster's definition, but I liked it. So it says, hope is commonly used to mean a wish. Its strength is in the strength of the person's desire. Interesting. So is that like when we hope somebody had a good birthday? I have a strong desire that you would have a good birthday. But in the Bible, hope is a little different, right? It is the confident expectation of what God has promised, and its strength is in his faithfulness. So I think that's pretty important. It's pretty different kind of hope, and we can have both, but I think it's good to kind of clarify. I'm not wishing hope because, you know, it's comes out of my desire for it. It's more of a, it's been promised to me. So to start, you know, if we're going to talk about hope in the midst of pain and struggle, we really have to take a moment to talk about our friend Job. Poor Job. You know, Job is often seen as a book about suffering, and it is. I don't think anybody likes to hang out in the book of Job too long. It's kind of a rough read, to be totally honest. But on the other hand, Job is also really a story about hope. You know, after the book of Psalms, which I think has the most uses of the word hope, Job is the other text that uses it the most. Depending on the translation that you're reading from, it pops up about 19 times. And it's not a big book. It's a little, just, you know, a few chapters. So it really is a book about hope. Our poor bud Job, he went through a lot. You know, he lost everything. His health, his family, his servants, like he lost everything. Yet he still praised the Lord. So how did he suffer so much and not crack? That's the question. But as he goes through and he's processing and he's having conversations, you know, he even as a result of his many losses, his big losses, Job despaired of his life, but he also got better. He met the Lord and he found restoration. So like Job, being people of faith does not mean that we will not have struggles. On the contrary, the Word of God says we will struggle. Paul even says that we should rejoice in our struggles because it is there that our faith grows. In Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, he says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So we're supposed to embrace our suffering because of that wonderful, mysterious hope. So what do we do when our world is, essentially falling apart, when life is crumbling around us. So when we think about that, I think about Lamentations. You know, the book Lamentations is basically a big lament, right? They think that the author is Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, and he is lamenting over the destruction of Jerusalem, his city that he loved. It once was a great city, but because of sin, it gets destroyed. And he's standing there literally in the rubble going, what is going on? He starts off Lamentations 3, which we're going to hang out mostly, again, kind of poetically, because it's very poetic. It's written very poetic. And he's going on and on about affliction and destruction. It's really quite strong language. For example, in Lamentations 3, verses 19 through 21, he says, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. Ooh. I remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Bitterness and gall. That doesn't sound good. Soul being downcast. Has your soul ever been downcast? But what does he say? Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. So he goes and he just launches himself into hope, standing in the ruins of his great city. In verse 22, he says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. Verse 23, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Verse 24, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. And in verse 25, the Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. So his world literally fell apart. His city literally crumbled down. But he is not consumed. He's receiving the Lord's compassion. He's acknowledging God's faithfulness. And this, I think, is a really important point in what he says. He says, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. He says it to himself. Sometimes we have to say stuff to ourselves in order to help us get out of our own destruction or feeling like the world is crumbling down around us. He's renewing his mind. He is choosing in that moment to think on God's truth instead of his circumstances. Because frankly, his circumstances, they look like crap. You know, it looks pretty bleak. But his heart, he knows that the Lord is his portion. You know, it's so easy to see things around us with our, I would say, our earthly eyes, right? It's like, oh my gosh, we can't get a break here. Like, why? You know, there's lots of fun phrases. When it rains, or, you know, when it rains, it pours. And, you know, we have all these phrases that kind of help us emotionally get through distressing times in our lives. When we get lemons, we make lemonade. I mean, you know, these are very common phrases we use. But so easy to see things with our earthly eyes and instantly begin to feel overwhelmed, scared, maybe unsure. But when we look at our circumstances with our spiritual eyes, soon we will see that the Lord, he never forsakes us. So then, probably Jeremiah, goes on to say, the Lord is good to those who seek him, whose hope is in him. The Lord is good to those who seek him. So here's the other thing. God sees us. Our hardest days, our best days, He sees us. He sees us in our pain. He sees us in our suffering. He sees us. You know, he even sees when we give in to our pain and our anger and our frustration, and he understands. He sees us when we take a turn and we choose, instead of seeing things with our earthly eyes, we see him with our spiritual eyes. And we choose to put our hope in him. He sees us when we do that too. You know, God knows that we live in a fallen world. He's not surprised. He knows when we are suffering because of our own bad choices and our sin. He also knows when we're suffering because sometimes just bad things happen to us. He is full of compassion. And when we hurt, he sees it. And I think it hurts him too. You know, there's a very, it's a small little sentence in the Gospels talking about how Jesus wept when he saw Lazarus' family grieving. Even though he knew that he would resurrect them, he saw them. He saw them in their pain. He saw them in their grief. And he wept. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, again in talking about Jesus, says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses." Again, God sees our pain. He sees us, he cares for us more than we could ever imagine, and because of the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. The Hebrew word for mercies, you know, in our Bible, our English Bible, we just see the word mercies. But the meaning in Hebrew could also be translated to love and goodness and kindness and charity and mercy and grace. That's a lot of good words behind that word of mercy. I want all those things. I need the Lord's love and goodness and kindness and charity and mercy and grace. All wrapped up into that word mercy. We get those things every day, brand new, fresh. We are not consumed in our most difficult moments. If we still in the midst of our pain and our suffering and heartache turn to our Heavenly Father. So we get to do our part. It's a cooperation, as is a lot of things in our faith. We get to cooperate. We get to join in with what God's doing. And so our part is choosing him. His part is forever and ever always the same. Because the Lord always chooses us. We don't always choose him, but he always chooses us. And that's that cooperation that we have. And he is our hope. So none of this really answers, because I've been asking the Lord, why have so many people been going through really hard times recently? What's going on? I don't really have an answer for that. But, you know, even in talking about this, none of this really answers the why. It's happening, right? So why are us going through such difficulty? We don't know. But one thing that I do know is that when the dust settles, you know, without a doubt in my mind, I've seen it over and over and over again. We will see where the Lord rescued us. Where his mercy, that mercy with all those other fun words backing it up, covered us. We will see that we were not consumed, even in our hardest days. And where we experienced that mysterious hope, which leads to increasing faith. And then when life gives you lemons, you make lemonade, right? But when life gives us another rough season, because it's going to happen, we know that God will carry us through it. that you will encourage our hearts when we are full of heartache. We know and we will remember, God sees me. He sees me struggling today. He sees my suffering, and to know that he's in that suffering with us. He's all up in it with us. We're not in it alone. The Lord is always with us. Again, it's that mysterious hope that we receive when it's all we have left. So I have a few more scriptures that aren't Lamentations. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 says, "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." We sang that this morning. Again in Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 2. "But now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." So these are promises. These are scriptural promises that we have, that the Lord will not abandon us on our hardest days. You know, in the words of the great Kelly Clarkson, and many others, what does she say? "What doesn't kill you makes you stronger." Yeah, it's a good song. You know, because of our humanity, whether we are people of faith or we are not, but we are, we all experience those difficulties. Because we are human and because of sin, there will be suffering. We cannot avoid it, even though it would be really nice. Eventually, we'll be without suffering. And there really is some truth in that secular quote, you know, that what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. There is some truth in that. But I think, isn't it great as a person of faith to know that, yeah, sure, what doesn't kill us makes us stronger. That's nice. But also, going back to what Paul says, suffering brings us more faith and more hope than we had before. Again, it's that amazing mystery of hope. And on top of that, we know we're not alone in our pain and our struggle. We will know Jesus was right there with us as we wept, or he was right there with us, carrying us through our most difficult days. So again, I want to go back to that, the second part of that definition of hope. The confident expectation of what God has promised, and its strength is in his faithfulness. It's not in wishful thinking. It's not in, oh, that would be nice. It's in his faithfulness. And there's no questioning that. He is faithful to us always. He's faithful to us even when our faith is wavering. He is faithful to us when we don't choose him. He is faithful to us no matter what. And those promises, and the scriptural promises, those promises are something that no one can take away from us. And it is a truth that is worth suffering for, and in some cases, dying for. So our vineyard theology of the already and not yet of the kingdom, I think is important for us, especially when we're going through kind of difficult seasons. And basically, you know, it's the already, the Holy Spirit is here already, but not in fullness and completeness, not yet. But the kingdom enables us to believe God for miracles. And we know that miraculous things do happen. But also to trust God when pain is occurring, because it happens. So with the theology of suffering and knowing that miracles happen, we believe that both are very necessary for a healthy Christian spirituality. So again, you know, I don't know why so many people are going through really difficult seasons, but I know that God is faithful. And maybe he's just wanting us to grow in our hope a little bit, grow in our faith a little bit more. So suffering, pain, sorrow, trials, unfortunately, are all part of our humanity. We cannot escape it. But what we can do is turn to our Heavenly Father and let him carry us through it. So I'm going to pray, and then Jody's going to have us do, take us through communion. And I want to sing that new song again, You're Carrying Me. So we'll do that during communion, because I feel like it just kind of is good for us in this season. So I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of our days, even those that include sorrow and suffering. Lord, we give you our fears and our anxieties. Lord, we turn to you. In our difficult seasons, we remember your promises, Lord. And we know that our hope is in you. And Lord, if some of us are still struggling because of our crisis, because of what's going on in our lives, Lord, right now, we turn to you. We choose you, Lord. We choose to hope in you. We give you that painful situation. Lord, we put our faith and our hope in you. Thank you for seeing us, Lord. Thank you for carrying us through our most difficult moments. And thank you for understanding us when we get overwhelmed, because the suffering is hard. Lord, I pray this week for each of us that you would remind us of your faithfulness. Remind us, Lord, that you are our portion and you are our hope. Lord, that you would strengthen us. And I know some of our crisis situations have not resolved, and so Lord, I just pray for strength for those. And Lord, just that collectively as a faith community, that we would just grow in our hope, Lord, and we would grow in our faith.